superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm going to guarantee this is a great segment.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Like, what's the downside of guarantee? Like, this whole thing is hilarious.
Mike McCarthy said, we're going to win the game. We're going to win.
Is that a guarantee, though?
Of course it is.
We're watering down the definition of a guarantee. Like, Joe Willie Namath is like, that's not a guarantee, guys.
The Rich Eisen Show.
They don't ask you how, they ask you how many.
Today's guests. Host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Plus, ESPN host and broadcaster, Chris Fowler. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. Hold your applause to the end, really. You know? Are you winners or losers, guys? Come on. Clap for the winner, will you? Thank you. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, hour number two.
I just looked up my resume and I realized I bled onto a second page, so I apologize.
Okay, yeah,
to
okay,
you.
Yeah, TJ Jefferson,
I apologize.
I'm four or five pages, boys.
I apologize.
Mike, you talk about your resume at
it's
the drop of a hat.
It's supposed to be one page.
I have like four or five pages. I've done a lot of stuff. I'm an old guy.
You know what? We should send you to Jacksonville.
I would show those guys how to do it.
Attaboy. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Chris Fowler, who hosted the Heisman Trophy Award that went to Bryce Young of Alabama, who is so terrific when we got a chance to chat with him last Thursday. Go to our YouTube page if you missed that. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. 327,000 subscribers now.
You know
what we're doing here every day here on NBC Sports on Peacock. And the man who kicks things off every single day on Pro Football Talk Live, Pro Football Talks, Mike Florio here to kick off hour number two. How are you, Michael?
Doing great, Rich. How are you, pal?
I am doing well. What's going on in Jacksonville? Best you can tell right now.
Well,
if we're talking.
I think that the report that we saw on Saturday from NFL media isn't the cause as much as it's the symptom of what's been going on. There are multiple people in the building that just don't care for Urban Meyer. They don't like the way he treats people, and they have been peddling stories and details and anecdotes for weeks now. It all goes back to when he didn't accompany the team back to Jacksonville after they lost that Thursday night game in Cincinnati, and regardless of whatever photos made the rounds, the key is he abandoned his post. He didn't fly with his team back to Jacksonville, and that emboldened people to begin to talk, and they've been talking and talking, and it finally reached critical mass on Saturday. And that's really the biggest issue that they're dealing with right now. And I know he suggested yesterday whoever the source is will be unemployed. First of all, he's not going to find out who the source is. Second of all, it's not just one person. There are multiple people that are talking to the media. They're motivated to do so because they don't like him. And what the owner has to decide is, how long is he going to continue this? Is he going to double down? The dysfunctional teams tend to double down when they make mistakes. The good teams either don't make mistakes at all, or when they make a mistake, they spot it, they rectify it, and they move on. But the indications are that Meyer is going to be back. I just am going to be fascinated, Rich, to see what his coaching staff looks like next year, because he hired these people. They, not all of them, but enough of them, because there's always stuff that goes on in a locker room, on a practice field, in a meeting room, and depending upon what the perspective of the observer is, it can be a big deal or not. We don't hear about that stuff. You only hear about that stuff when people don't like the guy who's in charge. That's the fundamental issue that the Jaguars need to wrestle with. There are too many people who don't like the guy in charge. What are they going to do about that going forward?
Well, it's also the players, too, right? Because you can't, you know, look. We were all wondering in the media is how Urban was going to handle losing, you know, and how is he going to handle losses racking up that eclipsed the number of losses that he would suffer over a span of years or a tenure, right? These 11 losses for Jacksonville right now, two more than he had in his entire tenure at Ohio State. You could tell the answer to that question is not well, not handling it well at all, or he handles it in the same way that he would handle one loss in a season. And the problem is that would be an outlier. Now it's a weekly occurrence, and that wears on people. So, you know, the players, though, you can't fire those, all of them. And those are the ones who are, according to Tom Pelissero, we're talking to Rams players at the end of that loss here in Los Angeles. And that's how stuff gets out, too.
Mike. Oh, absolutely. And I agree with you completely, the idea that losing a game or two now at the NFL level, it's not as magnified as it is at the college level. And I think that's how he kind of justified rolling the dice with not a great team because, hey, you lose seven or eight games, you're still in the playoff hunt in the NFL. Well, you lose 11 and you're done, as the Jaguars now are. But that's part of what he has to deal with. And you can internalize it or you can externalize it. And it sounds like he's spent a lot of this year, instead of holding it in, taking it out on anyone who happens to be around, because it's not his fault. It's never his fault. Nothing's ever his fault. So it must be someone else's fault. And he's, by all appearances, done what he can to put the blame on anyone that he can find to blame except himself.
So, you know, one thing that he said he's not used to, talking about, you know, I guess leaks and people talking about him like they talked about him, is playing out the string, which is what Jacksonville's doing now. So what happens over the next 4 weeks in your estimation? Crystal ball with any knowledge you may have about how expensive a move it would be to move on.
Well, no one knows what he's making. We reported back when he was in the market for an NFL job, he was looking for $12 million, and there was an angry reaction to that, which means he wasn't getting anywhere close to $12 million. The best number I can piece together is $6.5 million per year plus some form of incentive package possibly, and that's a lot lower than what we thought an Urban Meyer would make when he makes the jump to the NFL. So I don't know what the total buyout would be, how much is guaranteed, how many years go out there, but it's a big check if you want to move on. The question becomes, what will Shad Khan do about this? And the Jaguars have a unique structure as it relates to PR. For certain things, when you ask the team for comment, they send you to the owner's spokesperson, a guy named Jim Woodcock. And so when this comes out, hey, Jaguars, what's your comment on these reports that these things happened? They send you to the spokesman for the owner, and he says no comment. And I went back and forth with him yesterday, and he eventually sent me an article recently that was published in the Florida Times Union where Shad Khan has a bunch of different comments, and he talks about failure and dealing with failure and how he's dealt with failure in the private sector and how it's different in sports because everything's magnified. But you get the impression that he's not going to just cave in. He's not going to give in. I mean, he's got the lowest winning percentage of any owner who's had a team for the amount of time that he's had the team, 10 years now. And the total number of games, no one has been more unsuccessful than him. So I guess he's kind of used to it, and I think he is going to be inclined to double down. But, you know, all it takes is one moment. All it takes is one thing. You never know what that straw is going to be that breaks the camel's back. And remember this. This year, the window opens 2 weeks early on potentially moving on from coaches and interviewing guys who are working for other teams. That's something that the league put through in October, and that could cause some teams to start firing coaches 2 weeks before we're accustomed to the coaches being fired. So the window opens not in 4 weeks from today. It opens basically 2 weeks from today.
How about that? Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's the status of Matt Nagy, you think, in Chicago? 4-9 right now. Justin Fields shows flashes when he's not hurt. Behind that porous offensive line, that's, you know, obviously Nagy's fault. But what do you make of his status in Chicago right now?
From one dysfunctional organization to another, and dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things. So it's always hard to predict what a dysfunctional team is going to do. Right, when they trade up from number 20 to number 11, give up next year's first round pick to get Justin Fields, I look at that and I say, okay, somebody in that organization has decided that they're going to stick with Matt Nagy for a couple of years, that they're going to stick with Ryan Pace, the GM, for a couple of years, and give this kid a chance to develop, that you're not going to put everyone under a win-now mandate when you've gone all in for a quarterback that's going to take some time to get to his highest level of achievement. Because if you get a new coach, there's no guarantee the new coach wants that quarterback. He may say it during the interview process, and he may convince you that he believes it, but once he's there and he's got his guaranteed contract, well, all of a sudden, maybe this guy or maybe that guy or maybe this guy doesn't really fit with the offense I want to run. So I thought that when they made the trade, Rich, it meant Nagy and Pace got two more years. And now, obviously, the storm clouds are building. And there was a report from CBS on Sunday that they've spoken to Trace Armstrong, who was a first-round pick of the Bears in 89 and spent 16 years in the NFL. He's in the 100-sack club. He's a successful agent now, primarily for coaches, that they've talked to him about taking over the football operations. He denied it. Brian Day, the Iowa State coach, was linked to Armstrong, but the one thing that was overlooked in all this, he represents Nagy. So it's just one big stinking mess. And I mention that possibility of someone in charge of football operations because if they do start firing people this time around, Rich, they need to go one level higher and target Ted Phillips. He's got one of these gigs that most teams have, a person like this, who is part of the football operation, but when the poop hits the fan, pardon me, they're not. And they go run for cover, and they don't get fired. So 20 years later, and a bunch of bad hires later, that person's still calling the shots. It could be that this time, it goes up one level higher, and they clear out everybody and start over again.
I guess I was thinking when I heard Ryan Day's name mentioned that whoever loses the Michigan-Ohio State game is apparently rumored to be the next Bears coach year in and year out, you know? So
I wonder if they're leaking Ryan Day to get Jim Harbaugh to be in.
I don't know about that. I mean,
the ultimate born on third, I think you hit a triple move. And then Harbaugh says, no, sorry, Ryan Day, I'll take that job.
So what about Ryan Day? What could he be like Jacksonville, too? Because, you know, that's a possibility. I mean, what college coaches could potentially be on radar screens in the NFL right now?
The owners are very much influenced by recent history. They say that the NFL is a copycat league. I think that it's more like the owners don't know what to do, so they look at whatever's successful right now, and they say, well, I'll do the same thing. So you look at what's happening with Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, and the guy who succeeded him in Ohio State, well, would you touch that guy right now if you were an owner of a team? I mean, think of the ridicule you're going to get. Oh, well, we took the guy that Urban Meyer handed a successful program to, and he's still mostly successful, and we expect that guy to be better than Urban Meyer when, you know, he worked with Meyer, and look at what a mess it is for Meyer. I think it's going to be hard to sell Ryan Day until Meyer either becomes successful or some other college coach who jumps to the NFL becomes successful. I mean, you know, Matt Rhule started off 3-0, and now I think he's in trouble.
He is.
Of being replaced.
You think so?
Well, because David Tepper, the owner of that team, is determined to get the best of everything as it relates to coach, GM, and quarterback. The Amazon series that they don't produce anymore, it was called All or Nothing.
Yes.
The year that they had the Panthers as the focal point, in the very last episode, David Tepper's riding in the backseat of an SUV, and he says the NFL is set up for all teams to be 500. And where you go above that or below that is up to you. And if you want to be above that, you have to have a great coach, a great GM, and a great quarterback. And I think Tepper has a very short fuse when it comes to up or down. Is this guy great or not great? Teddy Bridgewater, 1 year, not great, gone. Sam Darnold, half a season, not great, gone. And has he seen enough from Matt Rhule in 2 years? Look, something happened that is unusual, to say the least, to result in Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, being fired at 15 after 1 o'clock Eastern on the Sunday of their bye week, 6 days after the normal time you fire somebody when you're changing offenses or changing play callers during your bye week. So there's definitely a vibe that David Tepper may have seen enough from Matt Rhule, and he's going to move on and try to find, you know, he wants Vince Lombardi, George Young, and Tom Brady, and he's not going to rest until he has all three.
So who else might be on that hot seat? It's interesting that you point out again that the window to start interviewing candidates is 2 weeks earlier than usual. So what do you think?
Well, I think Mike Zimmer in Minnesota is a guy who's in danger, to say the least. Where they are right now, it's just the same old thing. They're treading water. They're dog paddling. They've blown so many leads this year. And even though they ultimately won the game on Thursday night, that's one of those games where in the owner's box, to the extent that they are allowed to smoke cigars in there, and I assume they're not, that's where you want to light one up midway through the third quarter and just enjoy the rest of the game. Well, the next thing you know, here, oh, there's one. Oh, there's another. Oh, there's another. Before you know it, You're in another game that goes down to the last freaking play, up 29-0, and it's yet another Vikings game that has to come down to the last play. And but for Chase Claypool and the ridiculous celebration of a first down catch that took 14 seconds off the clock before they could snap it, the Steelers would have had another shot or two at the end zone. So I think Zimmer has to get to the round of eight, and I don't think he will, to come back next year. I think at this point, just getting the seventh seed and getting knocked out by the second seed is not going to be nearly good enough. And because it's just, you know, playoffs one year, no playoffs the next year, and there's no real sign of growth, no sign of progress, and no sign that he's fully in charge of the team. He's in charge of the defense, and he throws the keys to the offense, to the offensive coordinator, and that's just not good enough.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. A few more minutes left with him right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So the scenario in the AFC, there are the Patriots now two in front of the Bills, who had their star quarterback in a just starring role. What a remarkable comeback that Josh Allen led, but it led him to be in a walking boot to leave. And then the Ravens lose to the Browns, who have an opportunity to now win this division, having split with the Browns. They've already won one with the Bengals, who have swept the Steelers and have already beaten the Ravens once, and they could wind up sweeping the Ravens too. Certainly if Lamar Jackson has some considerable time out. What do you know about the injury status of both of those quarterbacks right now on this Monday?
Well, Josh Allen downplayed his injury, but the boot isn't a fashion statement, Rich, yeah. Right? He's got it on for a reason. And Kyler Murray downplayed his sprained ankle that he suffered in the next last play of the Week 8 game against the Packers, and we didn't see him for five more weeks. So I never trust what comes out of the quarterback's mouth or any player's mouth right after they're injured, because there's a certain amount of hard-headedness and wishful thinking that goes into it. So turf toe is what I've seen, left foot, turf toe, that's not good. And they unleashed him yesterday, unlike they have in a long time. I think after his rookie season, when he had a couple of 100-yard rushing games, they decided to be more careful with him until, like, huge games, key moments, postseason. Apparently they decided yesterday this is the moment, this is the time to switch back to southpaw and go after, you know, a better offensive showing than what they've had. And I think Brian Daboll's in serious trouble there as well with the offense he's been running. But with Allen, it's too early to know. And with Lamar, John Harbaugh said after the game it is a sprain and they're going to do tests today. And there's been some different opinions. Is it low ankle? Is it high ankle? Whatever. They're going to defer to the tests and figure out exactly what it is. Almost like last week with Marlon Humphrey, there was reporting that it was his shoulder and ended up being a torn pec. You have to, in some of these, just wait and see what the diagnostic evaluation is, and then you know exactly what it is and how long he may be out. But you know, the Ravens have just been holding it together, like one injury after another all the way back to training camp. It's amazing they're even in it at this point. And if they lose Lamar, it would be even harder for them to hold on.
Yeah. Where are the long-term contracts for the starting quarterbacks in that game yesterday?
Well, I mean, Lamar should have his. The problem is Lamar represents himself. And Lamar, there was a story from Shefty, I think, week one. Lamar's too focused on football to negotiate the contract. That's all the more reason to hire an agent. I mean, whatever you save in that 2%, 1%, whatever it is, you can negotiate it as low as you want. And there's agents out there willing to do it for 1%. Whatever you save, you're going to make over that by orders of magnitude, especially if you end up getting yourself injured and you never get that big contract offered to you by your team. So he should have had his deal a long time ago. His issue isn't the team's unwillingness to do it. It's that he isn't engaged in the process with the Ravens, and they're just kind of waiting for him. For the Browns and Baker Mayfield, different story altogether. They just aren't talking because I don't think they know whether or not he's the guy.
Really? That's it, huh? I mean, it's just because they're or they just don't want the number to start with a 4 annually, right? I mean,
well, it's one or the other. It's like, hey, we'll keep you around for $30 million a year, but we won't keep you for $40 million. Or, you know what, if we're going to pay $30 million, we'll just roll the dice on somebody else. This gets back to what we talked about earlier. When do you admit your mistake? When do you admit that it's not right? When do you recognize we just have to forget what we've done and focus on what we're going to do? Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland Plain Dealer had an article that tried to discern what Baker was talking about when he went public with Kurt Warner over the weekend and said that there are a lot of internal things that have been an issue this year. That you usually don't hear that from a quarterback. And there, by all appearances, is a lot of stuff between Mayfield and the team, and it's happening with the contract uncertainty in the background. I just don't think it ends well. And I think the Browns need to acknowledge it, and Mayfield needs to acknowledge it. I don't. Who would anyone give Mayfield something right now that starts with a four? Rich?
No. Nor would I. But yeah. I would definitely sign him long term. I mean, like at some point, Mike, we're going to see a team do one of two things in this situation. We're going to see a team tell this quarterback, "Yeah, you were drafted first overall, and you're our guy." But we are not going to pay you top dollar just because you were drafted first overall all those years ago, certainly by somebody that wasn't me, you know. So we're going to find a contract in the sweet middle, you know, in the sweet middle of like of Jimmy Garoppolo or a little hair above what Jimmy Garoppolo got, right? Like that's what we're going to do. Or we'll do the other thing that we're still waiting for a team to do, which is we're going to draft somebody first overall. We're going to go through that guy's contract, and then we're going to start again. And we'll just do it again because we're not going to get cap strung, and we're going to try and win a Super Bowl with a new guy in his first year years of his contract, which is the sweet stuff that the Chiefs were able to do and the Seahawks were able to do back in the day, and very few other teams have been able to do. Like that's what we're going to see, and maybe the Browns are they.
Hey, Rich, your lips to the football god's ears. Back in June of 2019, I was shouting as loud as I could to the Rams, "Do not sign Jared Goff to a second contract. Don't do it. Just because he's got 3 years in and he took you to a Super Bowl and he's eligible for a new deal, don't do it. Don't do it." And they were acting like I was crazy. Fred Rogan had Sean McVay on his radio show, and they were like, "Oh, that's just ridiculous. Oh, he's never going to not be here." All of the BS that we hear all the time when we're really sold heavy BS. And fine, look what you get. You pay him $33.5 million. You eventually have to offload the deal 2 years later as part of a broader trade where you kind of you hide Goff's contract in there and give up a first-round pick to get rid of Goff's contract, but it's not as conspicuous as it would be because it's part of the broader Matthew Stafford transaction. That's exactly what some of these teams need to do, and it's either see you later or, Rich, it's the creation of a second tier. You know, for a while it was the next guy who was due a contract, who was on the pass side of pass-fail, automatically becomes the highest-paid player in league history. And it went Andrew Luck, Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan, one after another. That doesn't work anymore. We'd like to keep you, but you're not getting $40 million a year. We'll keep you at $30 million a year, and otherwise, see you later. That's what somebody needs to do, and maybe the Browns will be the ones who do it with Mayfield.
Mm. Last one for you, Mike, in a couple minutes I have left here. What can you tell me about the Raiders? What's their last few weeks going to be here? Best you can tell, what are you hearing about them?
The last reporting I saw about Mark Davis and his plans for looking for a new coach is he hadn't started yet because he's focused on the postseason. Well, he's about at the point where he can forget focusing on the postseason, and he's 2 weeks away from being able to start interviewing other coaches from other teams, but it's clearly not going to be Rich Bisaccia long term. He wouldn't have had that job. He wouldn't have even been interviewed for the job. He was just at the right place at the worst possible time for John Gruden. And on John Gruden, by my calculation, unless there's been an extension informally agreed to by the lawyers, that response from the NFL and Roger Goodell to the John Gruden lawsuit could be landing as soon as today. It'll be very interesting to see what their next move is on this broader litigation chessboard. It's been a while, but you get a month or so, and I think today may be the day.
Now, I was going to ask you, what's going on with Gruden? What are you hearing about John, about any of that stuff?
Well, once it gets into the gears of formal litigation, there's a lot of delays that are baked into it, especially early on, but we're getting there. And we'll see. Now, I guess there's also a chance that they may have quietly settled it, but that would defy the rhetoric that we saw from the league. But maybe they learned their lesson with St. Louis, and they've decided to cash out of these things sooner rather than later.
Mike, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciated. Always appreciated. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Rich. Good talking to you,
Bob. You bet. That's Mike Florio. Check him out every single day on NBC Sports on Peacock to kick things off before the Dan Patrick Show, and then comes ours, and then Brother from Another. That's how we roll every single day here on NBC Sports on Peacock. We'll take a break. Your phone calls and Overreaction Monday on the other side. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores, or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Matt in Oklahoma. It's been some time since we heard from one of our diehard Bills fans out there in the Rich Eisen Show listening audience. How you doing, Matthew?
I'm doing all right. I was going to be, you know, the red-ass Bills fan, these delusional people. But, you know, I've been a Bills fan for 35 years. And you know what I saw last night in the last quarter and a half? I saw the Josh Allen from last year and
yes,
the Bills from last year.
Yes, you did.
So I'm not, as long as Josh Allen's okay, I guarantee you this, if he's okay, they're going to win out, we're going to the playoffs, and all these haters of Josh Allen that say they're Bills fans,
who's
to get off the bandwagon, and they need to go on somewhere else, because we don't want you. That's our quarterback. Suck it and go somewhere else.
All right, Matt, thank you. Hope you're well. You got that off
all
your
right,
chest.
You be well.
I got something. Dude, I got last night from some guy on Twitter. He's got, like, you know, thousands of followers. That's what Warren Sapp taught me years ago. Like, if somebody's got two followers, don't respond. Anything over 500 or 1,000 followers, you got to think about it. Because there's an audience. You got to, you know, I'm not just going to get slagged saying, you know, all you media guys who don't give the respect to Josh Allen, you know, and all that business. And I'm like, who doesn't give respect to Josh Allen?
Matt must be like some Bills. Like,
I don't know what it is. Like, is there somebody out there
something
who thinks Josh Allen isn't a remarkably talented athlete at the quarterback position who so many people missed on? Like, the last time Josh Allen didn't get the respect, I think, was in when he got drafted. And a lot of people were like, eh, he's inaccurate. He's got this. He's got that. This is that problem. This is that problem. And the Bills have actually built a team around him. The Bills have actually built a team around him that he's thrived under, and they've actually gotten an offense around him. And the only thing that they need to do is, could you imagine if they had somebody he could hand it to 15, 20 times a game that could do it like A.J. Dillon did against the Bears last night?
That's
like to
rack
things up, to take the pressure off of this kid, that he doesn't have to throw it to get a first down.
He doesn't have to run it.
Doesn't have to run it, wind up in a walking boot.
Yeah. If they had a running back, that team would.
Like get somebody who can punish.
Or use the backs that they have, which they're, what was it, the third quarter?
Let's just say it again. What if they had, like, Fred Jackson right now?
Ooh. Man. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what if they had somebody that they could hit you in the mouth with, like, Fournette? What if they had Fournette? They don't have that guy. Or they don't trust that guy. Devin Singletary is not the guy like that. He can make some plays.
Zach Moss was a helpful
supposed to be that guy,
again.
Right? I know. So, what's going on?
I know.
Matt Breida is not the guy walking through that door who's going to take you, like, they, you know, like C.J. Anderson. Remember, he was added to the Rams team as they made that run, and they needed him. And everybody who had Todd Gurley on their fantasy team saying, why is he riding a bike while C.J. Anderson's getting all those touchdowns?
Yeah.
That's who the Bills need, man. But who's out there saying Josh Allen isn't that guy? He's the man. He's Like the number of, like, I heard you guys were talking before, like ranking all the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You would, like, if you put his name up against so many others in the league, you'd take him over. What would you do? Hold on about this. This is what, him or Dak?
This very second?
Yes.
On Monday?
Yes.
December 3rd, I would take Josh Allen right now because I think Dak is kind of hurt.
How about you?
I mean, Josh Allen is in a walking boot, so to take
remove
Brock
him from
like,
the walking boot, all things being equal, who would you take, Dak Prescott or Josh Allen?
I'm not answering that question.
It's because you take Josh Allen.
You know, I love
so
Dak Rich,
and so would
I. Love Josh Allen,
and so do I. Of course, I love Dak too. I think he's terrific.
Josh Allen gave me my first interview with the Rich Eisen show, so he has a special place in my heart.
And Josh Allen is like a face of the franchise. He's the guy, like, you know, goes up to the kid who wants to say hello.
Yeah.
He's approachable. He even said that to us. He's getting used to that. Mm-hmm. By the way, we got to send him a Rich Eisen show hat that we said he would wear around town, pull it over his face if he doesn't want to be bothered while eating somewhere.
I mean, Chris Sims tweeted this morning that if you watched the game yesterday, Allen was the best quarterback on the field.
Who disrespects Josh Allen?
I'm confused.
They have to check themselves if they do that.
Well, to Matt's point, get off the bandwagon.
I don't know who those people are because they don't know football.
Yeah. If I know Josh Allen's my quarterback for the next 15 years, I'm extremely happy.
They finally found their next Jim Kelly. You're not messing around with Rob Johnson anymore, you know?
J.P. Glossman.
Oh, my God. Or Losman. Whatever. I don't know. You know, Trent Edwards.
There you
those
go.
Days that's are long gone, of. Man.
Yeah,
long gone.
Bills Mafia is set at quarterback.
Please.
Be happy.
844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Overreaction Monday. Let's hit it right here on the program. Go for it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays. Monday.
Christopher, the floor is yours, sir.
All right, let's start with the Bills. I know you hit this last hour, Rich, but let's just go back to it. The Bills are going to miss the playoffs.
Overreaction, man. Home for Carolina, at the Patriots, home for Atlanta, home for the Jets. Atlanta and Matt Ryan coming in on January 2nd, and then the Jets come in for a nice little get-right game. I think the division's gone, though. I think they're not winning the division. They're two back. They'd have to go 4-0. And hope the Patriots lose another, and then I don't even know what the tie breaks are after that. You know what I'm saying?
The Pats would have to go 2-2 at the
right. That's what I'm saying. They'd have to lose another game. The Patriots could be a Saturday game against the Colts. They're both coming off of a bye week, but it looks unlikely that they're going to win the division. They're going to have to go on the road and win football games. Can you win a football game in Tennessee? I think so. Can you win a football game in Baltimore or Cleveland or Cincinnati? Absolutely. I think they can.
If they play like they did yesterday.
Or in the second half. I saw some flashes. That's an overreaction. Go for it, Chris. What else you got over there?
The thing about the Bills is their best running back is Josh Allen. Not sustainable.
That's what I say. It's just not a sustainable. They didn't have a running back didn't have a first half carry in Tampa yesterday. Not a touch on a run.
All right, we talked about this last hour too, Rich. I'm just going to say it. Urban, one and done in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I can't imagine that's not an overreaction right now. You know, Shad Khan's got to sit and find out from anybody in that building that can tell him if this is true or not. And this being just an unhealthy culture that, you know, Urban might have employed, you know, his will in the manner in which this article is saying he employed his will this way after a loss in Ohio State or after a loss at Florida because they were so rare. But when the losses mount up and you keep doing the same thing in professional football, people are going to be like, what's your malfunction? And that's why we always wondered if the losing would be something he could handle, in quotes. And right now, he's handling it the way that he would handle a loss, I imagine, at Ohio's in Columbus or Gainesville, Florida. And that doesn't work in Jacksonville when you're the head coach of an NFL team. Because players don't mind talking to other players about what's going on here. And coaches won't mind talking to media or whatever else or their agents about what's going on here. I'd imagine in the fiefdom of Columbus and Gainesville, that would be like going at Logan Roy without the actual material buttoned up. I mean, you know,
Logan always wins, Rich.
That's right. So that's not an overreaction as far as I can tell right now. What else, Chris?
All right, on Friday, we did higher register, and I said the Bengals are going to win. They're going to win the North. Scrap that. The Browns are going to win the AFC North.
The Browns can win the AFC North. I've told you this. The Browns can win the AFC North. What a big game coming up on Saturday to kick off the NFL Network-only doubleheader. Thursday night's a huge game, you know, that you can see on the triple cast. Chiefs at Chargers up the road. And then comes Vegas at Cleveland. Whew. Let's give Cleveland a win there, right? Shall we? That makes them 8-6. Then it's at Green Bay. That's the one where they could really put their card on the table and say, we are a team to beat in the North in the other conference. And they're at Pittsburgh on a Monday night. They should win that one and sweep the Steelers. No, they would split with the Steelers, and then they could sweep Cincinnati. And if Cincinnati's the one that they're tied with, they sweep them. And Cincinnati, as you know, has already swept the Steelers, and they could do so with the Ravens and still lose the division because the Browns can go get them. They're only a game out. The only team in front of them are the Ravens, who might be without Lamar Jackson against Green Bay themselves. This is still wide open, and it's for the Browns to take it. Let's go. Not an overreaction. What else you got over there?
All right, they're not currently in this position, but the Chiefs should be Super Bowl favorites.
To win the whole darn thing.
To win the whole kit and caboodle. Man, they look good.
In the same way I said this about Dallas, I can't believe I'm saying it about Kansas City, that the defense is carrying them right now. The offense has been up and down. Yesterday, though, we saw what they did against the Raiders. And the Raiders, by the way, first team in the history of the NFL to go out to the opponent's logo at midfield. The autumn wind was a pirate. They went out to the arrowhead symbol in the middle of Kansas City, Missouri. With all the red-clad arrowhead fans around them, they went out and then stomped all over it, and then promptly fell into a 35-0 hole. The first such team to ever do that. Nonsense, and then boat racing in the history of the National Football League. So the Chiefs are doing it right now, and I'll say that's an overreaction right now. I'll still say it's an overreaction. We need to see how consistent that offense is. A big Thursday night game. They can get swept by the Chargers, and then all of a sudden, we're talking about the Chiefs having to go on the road in the playoffs. So I'll just call that an overreaction. But as you know, I stuck with the Chiefs to make the Super Bowl. I don't know about winning it. But defensively, they have turned everything around. They have tightened the bolts. And now they're going to try and do that against the Bolts on Thursday.
Okay, Rich, you just mentioned the Bolts. They got a pretty good quarterback. Justin Herbert is the best young quarterback in the league.
So who are we including in this mix? Joe Burrow?
I'm including
Tua, his draft mates?
Yeah,
the current draft class.
Current class, maybe the 2019 class. Let's put Kyler Murray in there.
Hmm. Yeah, you may not be wrong.
30 touchdown.
It's Kyler in there. And then
you want to put Josh Allen in there? Want to put the 18 class?
Well, then if that's the case.
Yeah,
you'd rather have Herbert or Josh Allen?
I have Josh Allen. I like Herbert, though. But
the Josh Allen versus fill-in-the-blank question is something else.
It's tough, yeah. Allen
is a beast.
Justin Herbert. Yeah,
maybe let's leave it at 19.
We could make an argument here. We could make an argument here.
I mean, that throw yesterday.
It was incredible.
He threw it from his 34, and it went all the way down to the goal line on the other side.
He caught it at the 3, so it was technically 63 yards in the air, but
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, roll out on a dime.
What else you have over there, Chris?
All right, we are on Bucks win yesterday, Packers win in the nightcap. We are on a Bucks-Packers NFC Championship collision course.
Oh, yeah. Unless the seeding works out in a way that doesn't make that possible, unless that's a division playoff game.
Ugh.
Fox would be so disappointed if that's the case.
We don't want them in the second round. We want them in the championship
I understand
game.
That, but the Cardinals may crash that party, sir.
Yeah.
Cardinals may crash that party, and they might meet in the second round. I think that's an overreaction that they're going to meet in the NFC Championship game. The fact that they'll meet in the playoffs, I think that is absolutely going to happen. And the whole country is going to pull up a chair, and that will be amazing. That will be amazing. But as you know, the Cardinals might prevent that from happening. So the Cardinals can sit there in the one seed and just win one game and say, we're in it.
Yeah, come to our house.
Right,
yeah.
Come to our house. Yeah. So that would mean, you know, Brady would have to win his wild card game at home. Rodgers would have to win his wild card game at home. And then the two shall meet the next week as Arizona takes on, you know, whoever survives it, like Dallas or the Rams or the Niners. Okay? Because it would probably have to be the Rams beating Dallas. Whoever's the 5 seed would have to win that game, and because the 2 and 3 Packers in the car and Bucks would have to survive that game, right? So it would be whoever beats Dallas.
Nobody.
So then if it is nobody, then that's the way the Bucks and Packers meet in the divisional round.
Right.
So I'll say it's an overreaction at the moment.
All right, last one. And
by the way, that just shows you how much I've done this year in and year out. I could piece that together in 2 seconds.
Lead pipe wielding professional.
What I'm saying is I'm a winner, guys, okay? So show me your resumes.
It's right here, baby.
You've got a resume.
This is more just like an observation than an overreaction, really. I mean, we know Zeke is banged up, but Dak doesn't look right.
That's true. He doesn't look right.
Nope. Hey.
The numbers support it. We showed him on game day morning after coming back from his calf injury. He is a totally different guy.
And I know they got the win, and that's all that matters, but
But Irv was saying, it's, well, this guy was banged up. He didn't have his receivers in this game, and he's true. That's true. And Zeke's banged up. They haven't had the full complement of guys. But I think yesterday was only the 5th game that CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Gallup, Zeke, and Dak were all there. In 2 years.
Right. Yeah.
So they were there yesterday, and they were up 18-0, so they look pretty damn good, but that's because they have the grownest assest men in the grown-ass men category in Micah Parsons. Holy cow. A game wrecker of the A++++ variety. Boy, did the Cowboys nail that pick.
Huh. I tried to tell you that.
No, that's because you're a Penn State Cowboy guy. Wow, this is as good as it gets for you.
Oh, man.
Just sprinkling a little Florida State somehow, some way, and you got something.
Okay, Kenny Pickett won the Heisman.
We'll take a break right here. Speaking of that, Chris Fowler is going to be joining us. We'll get you set for that. I made an observation about the Heisman. It's going to be fun to bring to you. Uh-oh. It's going to be fun to bring to you. Oh, I'm living my best life, baby.
Yes, you
living
are.
Living my best life.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Talking about the Heisman ceremony. Did you see, as we're talking about it, Harbaugh had great seats behind third base on that night? Did you see that? Great seats right on third base, right behind third base. Best seats.
So he was sitting behind Ryan Day?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Living my best life right now, I am. Just like Desmond.
Why was he not next to Ryan Day?
I don't know. Just right behind him. I don't know how they do the seating. I have no idea.
That's like when we were in front of Jalen Ramsey at the honors in Minneapolis.
Oh, well, we were sitting in front of Jalen, and I turned right around. I'm like, look, man, I know you're, you know, you're all that. You're, you know, rookie of the year material. I think it was just right after. I'm like, but, you know, I've been in the league a little longer than you.
We were behind.
I literally said that to Jalen
Jerry
Ramsey.
Jones in front of Jalen Ramsey.
He was my plus one, right? Yeah. Sometimes I'm that guy, you know, living my best life, best I can. telling people like Jalen Ramsey, at some point you'll be in front of me here.
You work hard. You keep working hard.
Keep going. Keep doing what you're doing.
And maybe.
Jalen.
I mean, I'm still like blinded from his watch that
he had
on.
By the way,
like,
the bling he had on was spectacular.
I can imagine.
It was real and spectacular.
It was very real.
But Harbaugh there was introduced as coach of the year, Jim Harbaugh.
Michigan first one ever.
And he said that Hutchinson's going to be first pick in the draft. And by the way, you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing he will be. That's what I'm hearing. That Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a Detroit Lion or a Jacksonville Jaguar. Because trust me, I would love to see him in green. Oh, my God. He's putting guys on skates, man.
Yeah, he's a beast.
All I got to do is just be close to Micah Parsons. He's so good. I have man love for Micah Parsons. Last Penn State Nittany Lion I had man love for like
Todd
that.
Blackledge?
No.
Saquon.
Saquon.
Yeah,
he scored a touchdown yesterday here in Los Angeles.
Is he back?
Who the hell knows? But the state of New York football, I cannot say how terrible it is right now. It is so terrible. How terrible is it? It's so terrible that I don't even have words for it. Forget about it. Doesn't even suffice how bad it is. The Jets yesterday let Taysom Hill and Alvin Kamara run all over them. And then offensively, they couldn't do anything. Zach Wilson's done nothing to make me sit here and think this kid has got, you know, a 2022 season set in stone. That the Jets are going to have a tremendous season with him. If they draft this, they draft that, this piece, they add it, and they're ready to go. I don't even have that confidence, which is just a gut punch, a total gut punch right now. He has not shown at all the ability to be boring or whatever you want to call it. I haven't seen it. He's shown the moxie. He's shown that he could take a hit. That's not what I was hoping for. That's for sure. And Tony Romo saying his ceiling was Patrick Mahomes. That I haven't seen. I haven't seen the floor of Mahomes. I haven't even seen a Mahomes floor right now.
You know what?
He's looking up at Mahomes' floor. That's his ceiling right now. And it's just so disappointing. And then the Giants. The Giants are going to have a new GM. And I don't know how, you know, I mean, know, Joe Judge is trying to be positive. He's seen lots of positives. Like, what positive did you see out of that?
Yeah.
You didn't get your, I mean, it was 30-7. It was 30-7. Like, Herbert was just winging it all over the place. It's terrible. And, luckily for the Giants, they're hooked at the hip with the Bears right now, and that pick that they got from the Bears for Justin Fields getting drafted in Chicago, that pick got better yesterday because the Bears lost. The Jets pick from Seattle got worse because Seattle won that one. And Seattle's not done, gents. That's a 6-7 team sitting in the seventh spot. They're 5-8. They're not done. New York football's done for quite some time, and it's so friggin' depressing. I can't even say it. And I hope the Jets got it right, because the first 14 weeks of the season has not shown me that they've gotten anything right, except another one kicked right in the bofas from the football gods. That's what's been getting right. Oh, my gosh. Chris Fowler's going to class this joint up a little bit. As I said, friggin' and bofa in the same sentence. I feel like I'm 10.